Welcome back to the final chapter of Christology. As we were dealing with the work of Christ and the atonement of Jesus Christ, now I would like to present the final chapter as the supremacy of Christ. The supremacy of Christ. Paul writes that after Christ suffered a time of great humiliation, God exalted him to the highest place. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. I would like to read that for you. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature, God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made everything as himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heavens and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Again in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 to 23 says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us to believe. That power is like the working of the mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rules and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age but also one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Thus the Bible teaches that Christ is in a state of exaltation under the Father, unequaled by anyone else. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 27 and 28 says, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Romans 14:9 says, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. An early Christian confession was, Jesus is Lord, Romans 10:9 and 1 Corinthians 12:3. And Jesus himself tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The supremacy of Christ illustrated by the above biblical passage implies the sufficiency of Christ. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 that in everything Christ has the supremacy, after which he adds, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, verse 19. This fullness includes every spiritual blessings that we find in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, and all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, as if in Colossians chapter 2 verse 3. There is no blemish or lack in him, because Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 and 10 says, for in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. The sufficiency of Christ implies that through him we have everything we need to life and goodness, godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. And there is no need to seek other sources of spiritual power and guidance. Indeed, there is one other true source of spiritual power and guidance beside what is available through Christ. Nevertheless, many professing Christians in our days are seeking help from illegitimate sources. When the solutions of the problems are readily available through prayers in the name of Jesus and knowledge of the scripture. Many people who claim to be Christians nevertheless become involved with occult practice such as astrology, horoscope, necromancy and all varieties of divinations, but these are forbidden by God. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 26 says, do not practice divination or sorcery. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 31 says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 6, I will set my face against a person who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute himself by following them, and I will cut him off from his people. Most significant verses are that I am dealing with. Again, in Leviticus chapter 20 verse 27, a man or woman who is a medium or spiritist among you must be put to death. You are to stone them. Their blood will be on their own heads. Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 10 and 12 says, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 10 verse 13 and 14 says, Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance and did not inquire of the Lord, for the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. On the day of judgment, no astrologist or medium can save his followers from hell, and of course he himself will be condemned. Isaiah chapter 47 verse 12 to 15 says, keep on then with your magic spells and with your many sorceries which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you will succeed, perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those strangers who makes predictions months by months. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of flame. Here are no calls to warm anyone. Here is no fire to sit by. That is all they can do for you. These you have labored with and trafficked with since childhood. Each of them goes on in his error. This is not one that can save you. People commit spiritual adultery not because they have examined the verbal revelation of God and found it inadequate. Rather, they have never taken their foot to gain the wisdom of knowledge on the matter at hand by studying the scripture. Christ is undoubtedly sufficient for all of life, but the Apostle Peter explains that it is by obtaining knowledge about the things of God that we may walk in the provisions that he has given us. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 and 3 says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. This is why the study of theology is most important human activity. However, because of their slothfulness and wickedness, many people prefer to spend time consulting sources that are forbidden by God. Involvement with occult practices is adequate reason for excommunication. Negligence in church discipline only allows such abomination to foster and spread. The sufficiency of Christ in turn applies the exclusivity of Christ Jesus. This means that Christ is the only way to salvation and that Christianity is only true religion or worldview. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 9 says, "The Lord will be king over whole earth. On that day there will be one Lord and his name the only name." John chapter 3 verse 18 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." John chapter 14 verse 6 says, "Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to Father except through me." Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under the heaven given to man by which we must be saved." 1 Timothy chapter 2 5 says that, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ." 1 John chapter 5 verse 12 says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." All other spiritual leaders are unworthy of worship, and those who accept or demand worship are liars and frauds. All non-Christian religions and worldviews are false, including those that remain the name of Christianity without upholding biblical orthodoxy. All of them led to eternal damnation and endless punishment in hell. Jesus calls himself the way. There are not many ways to God. Jesus called himself the truth. Truth is not relative or changing. There is only one eternal being who is truth, and the New Testament writers identify Christ as this logos, or the eternal unchanging principle of reason and order in the universe. John chapter 1 verse 1, Colossians chapter 1 verse 17, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 to 3 and 13 verse 8. Therefore, Jesus calls himself the life. All other options lead to everlasting death and torment. No one can resist Jesus Christ, who at the same time finds God and life. Apart from him, there is only despair, death and damnation. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 verse 30, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Any religion or worldview that does not affirm total biblical orthodoxy is anti-Christian. Some religions claim to uplift Jesus Christ, but they admire him only as an example of morality or mystical enlightenment. However, the biblical faith demands the affirmation and worship of the complete and unadulterated Christ. This entails beliefs in his pre-existence and deity, virgin birth, incarnation and humanity, earthly life and ministry, atonement through his substitutionary suffering and death, and his physical resurrection. The Christ of Scripture is God manifested in human flesh. He is fully God and fully man. The Apostle John testifies, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and glory of one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John chapter 1 verse 40. He also gives us a warning in 1 John chapter 4 verse 2 and 3. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ is come in flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. The true Christ is the historical Jesus of Nazareth. Paul gives us a summary of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1 to 8, placing great emphasis on the historical nature of Christ's redemptive work. I would like to read it for you. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he has buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scripture, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Faith in historical Jesus and his work of redemption is of first importance. The apostle states that it is by this gospel you are saved, and that we are to hold firmly to it. The biblical Christ is not a mystical or ideological figure, but the second person of triune God, manifested in time and space. His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension were historical events with spiritual significance and not symbolic or mythological one. Peter says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitness of his majesty." He said this in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. There are a number of false religions in which Christ is presented as little more than ideological symbol or more example. At most, he is recognized as a true prophet, but not as God the Son. But any religion that does not affirm the person and work of Christ in biblical and historical sense is of the Antichrist, the symbolic Christ who is nothing more than an idea and robed of his redemptive work performed in history cannot save anyone. A Christ who is not fully God and fully man is not the biblical Christ at all. True Christianity must uphold the supremacy and exclusivity of Christ. However, the founder of some non-Christian religions had declared themselves the latest prophets from God. They claim that they suppressing the authority of Christ. I would like to repeat that word. They claim that they suppressed the authority of Christ, and that they had the authority to add to the biblical revelation. Although some of these who came after Christ each claimed to be the final prophet, others arose and declared the previous ones to be obsolete, that they were now the authoritative voice of God to humanity, and that they were the truly enlightened ones. The student of apologetics or comparative religion should honor Christ by examining the errors and contradictions within these false systems of thought and thoroughly annihilate their claims to truth. All false religion, anything, all of the religion, I don't want to just spell out the name, to them. Now Paul says the following: "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." So my dear brothers and sisters, those who are listening to me, I'm so happy to tell you that Christ is the only being, the true God, the whole majesty one, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Through him only one can attain the kingdom of God. It's he himself dwells in full humanity as well as full in divinity. So Jesus Christ, the supreme authority under the heaven and above the earth, sits with the right hand of his Father and calls us all to be seated with him on his throne. May God bless us all with these chapters of Christology, and this may enhance you completely to uphold the Christian theology in a right way. in the systematic order. Thank you. God bless you.